Sam Nation Live Talk Radio 790 KABC. Happy Monday. We're here, and as per usual, we're coming to you from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. So the biggest controversy right now coming out of Houston is this issue of evacuation orders. You heard John Wolf talking about it on the news. Well, there were conflicting directions being given to the public. You had the governor, Greg Abbott, who was urging anyone between Corpus Christi and Houston to get the heck out of Dodge, to go to high ground, to get out of the way. And the way, if you've been to Houston, the way it is, I mean, there's a lot of low-lying areas. And so it's flood prone. And when you've got 24 inches of rain that come down in 24 hours, and now I think they've revised the estimates, they expect in total 60 inches of rain by the time the storm finally leaves the area. You know, the trick is, you just, if you're in a low-lying area, that area is going to fill with water. So Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, tells everybody to get out. And then there's this mayor in Houston, and his name is Sylvester Turner. He's a Democrat, and I have some theories on this that I want to develop here, if you'll allow me. Because no one really has a theory on it. Everybody's still it's a lot of what's in the news right now is very reactive. People are just sort of identifying what's being sent out there, but they're not really yet getting to any kind of analysis. And my brain works differently. When I see something happening in real time, I'm already drawing some conclusions from it. And because this is live radio and because this is what we do, we get into actual live breaking events and I'm going to get into it. And I haven't heard anybody really offer any great theories on this. So let me just, I'll take it step by step. So first, we've got Greg Abbott. He issues an evacuation order. Then comes the mayor of Houston, Sylvester Turner, and he says, no, we don't need to evacuate. We don't need 8 million people out on the road. And then he's covering his decision now. I mean, it's pretty obvious. We've got images, some frankly shocking. I don't know if you saw the picture of the nursing home. You have these octogenarian folks that are sitting there in chairs, water up to their chests. I mean, what if that was your mother, your grandmother, your grandfather? I mean, I have such a soft spot for the elderly. I mean, that kind of imagery is powerful. And so obviously, you know, there's you see kids stuck on roofs, you see people, you know, just right before I came over to the studio, I was watching CNN and I saw just an elderly woman getting plucked off her car, and she'd spent the night on top of her car. So these scenes are happening all over. And as the criticism is rising against this guy, Sylvester Turner, mayor of Houston, Mr. Turner has offered some defense of his actions. And here's what he said just a little bit earlier today about his decision.
The decision that we made was a smart one. It was in the best interest of Houstonians. Was the right decision in terms of their safety. And always we must put the interests of the city of Houston and Houstonians first. That's exactly what we did. Absolutely no regrets. We did what was the right thing to do, and we are acting according to the plan that we laid out.
Now, it's of note, there have been a number of high-profile criticisms of this strategy. And I understand, right? It's easy to quarterback these things. But I'm getting to something here that I want to develop. So just bear with me because we gotta get to it. There, CNN had just maybe 2 hours ago had a Lieutenant General Russell Honoré. Now this guy, he's retired now. He was with the U.S. Army, But this guy is a very big deal in the world of hurricane recovery and relief because he led the Department of Defense response to both Katrina and Hurricane Rita. So this guy has, like, this guy's sort of the big authority on emergency response to hurricanes, to flooding, and associated issues. And here is what Lieutenant General Russell Honore said on CNN just a few hours ago.
I like this mayor. I think he's a very proactive leader. But I hope this not become a new doctrine in America that when we get a weather warning, that we find rationale not to evacuate people, because the disabled people and the elderly should have been evacuated. People that have flooded before should have been evacuated. And volunteers should have been encouraged to leave.
Do you see the difference? So the difference is, you know, while the mayor right now is defending his lack of evacuation order, saying, look, I can't put, you know, 8 million people out on the road. It's just not feasible. This lieutenant general with experience in recovery relief during Rita and during Hurricane Katrina is saying, look, I understand that. I like this guy. I think he's a good leader. But what you do is you move, you evacuate your most vulnerable populations. And he names specifically the elderly, which is particularly important because some of the images that we've been seeing. Now, he says something else here that is really interesting because it strikes at the heart of a large number of commentary, especially among conservatives. We conservatives, okay, we're independent, strong-minded people. So when it comes to evacuation orders, we're a little bit fussy about them. I mean, we, generally speaking, independent people will do what they think is best for themselves. And so what I've been hearing today a lot of is basically something to the effect of, well, I mean, what is really an evacuation order? Why is the evacuation order important? Now, we're talking about this is the hurricane. You knew where we were on Friday. You remember this? I mean, you saw, and if you saw it, people, of course, in Houston saw it. They're looking at this giant eye of a storm bearing down on their city. So what does it really matter if you get an evacuation order or not? You see it on TV. Well, I think my reaction to this is that we're almost desensitized to having, you know, bad news warnings on TV and from the media. I just don't think that we trust the media the way we did before. And this reminds me, remember Acosta right before the hurricane whining about how, well, I sure hope Trump, well, here, we still have the clip. Let's play this clip because it's funny. It fits into this.
Hopefully the president won't be tweeting about fake news as much as many Americans will be relying on the news in order to stay safe during this storm. We appreciate it.
See, okay, but come on, hello, Los Angelinos. Did we not have Carmageddon? Do you remember that? We were told I'm not saying this is our version of a dud warning, right? I mean, how many news stories did we get? We for weeks inundated how our lives were essentially going to be over because of some bridge that was going out on the 405. You remember that? And then what happened? Nothing. I mean, it was a big nada. And there's other examples of this dealing with weather, you know, big storm coming, big this coming, big drought coming, big this. And it's this big dealism and then when nothing happens, it's a case of crying wolf. So the irony is that actually Acosta's kind of stumbled on something ahead of the fact, which is these evacuation orders are much more important in an era where journalists play fast and loose with things, create drama because drama sells its ratings. Does anybody want to watch CNN saying, you know what, this hurricane here, it's not really a big deal. Listen to your local authorities. Let's see how it is. No, every storm, regardless of whether it makes landfall or not, when it's out there in the Gulf or it's out there in the Atlantic, it's the storm of the century, right? And it is. That is how these things have to play out. So that's the media component to it. Now, I'm ready to delve into the political component of this. And we're, again, this is regarding the hurricane. It's regarding this mayor in Houston, Mayor Sylvester Turner, who now is being roundly criticized for his lack of putting out an evacuation order early on. They had an opportunity to do it early on, and he didn't want to do it. Now, why? Does anybody remember Ray Nagin? So Nagin, he was the mayor of New Orleans during Katrina. Now, and by the way, why do we know Mayor Reagan's name? Nagin's name. Why do we know Ray Nagin's name? We know it because Nagin became the face of the anti-Bush protest and the face of the anti-Bush hate that came from the lack of response to Katrina. Nagin, in fact, I'll venture to say, I mean, he really raised himself to national profile. Too bad he totally blew it because he left office and then got ensnared in some problems. Now is doing, 10 years in a federal penitentiary. But I digress. When I look at this, I looked at the Sylvester Turner. I didn't know about him at all before Houston. He probably didn't either. So I look him up, and he's got some years in the Texas House of Representatives, ran three times, finally successfully for Houston mayor, Harvard-educated lawyer. This guy's a smart cat. He's a smart guy. Lifelong Democrat. He's a co-chair of the Climate Mayors Association. Co-chair. And this is a group of mayors who actively oppose Trump on the Paris Climate Accords. You know, Trump obviously moved us. You know, this old news, but these are a group of mayors that intend to still meet the goals set by the Paris Climate Treaty. So they're sort of going to be circumventing the president's policy. So just to give you some flavor, some background of who this guy is. So let's say you're this guy, you're Sylvester Turner. You've got this hurricane barreling down on you. Could be a big deal, might not be a big deal. You're going to make some very quick calculations. One thing I don't want to accuse this guy of is being dumb. I don't think that's the case. Generally in politics, unless you're Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, I'm assuming that you have at least half a brain. I had to throw that in there. And I don't underestimate anybody. So I'm always assuming that a guy who starts out in the Texas House of Representatives then moves into an executive level function. And I have a brother-in-law, by the way, like this, who, great guy, started out in a state legislature and then moved to a mayoral position of a big city, because that is an excellent resume builder for when you want to run for bigger office. You just got to trust me on this. I know politics. So this is a guy who wants to raise his national profile. What better way to raise his national profile than if he becomes the face of a city that is suffering and that the president of the United States isn't responding to? Now, of course, this sort of backfired on him. If this was the political calculation, it backfired on him greatly because Trump's doing everything he can. I mean, look, Trump has learned the lesson of Bush and Katrina. So Trump is not going to in any way, shape or form make a misstep. I mean, he's signing every order he can. He's basically turned into a big spending Democrat when it comes to disaster relief. So I think perhaps maybe that was the underestimation. Now, if you think I'm being cynical and you think that I'm taking this a step too far, I don't know if you understand how politicians think. I mean, the calculation wasn't for people to suffer and die, but you never let a crisis go to waste. Crisis is good. Crisis is an opportunity for visibility, and visibility is an opportunity to shine. And when it comes to the Democratic Party right now, you just heard, I mean, just last hour, talking about this here. We see that the Democrats don't have any stars, and it's sort of this like free-for-all right now. hey, will the next Democratic star please stand up? And who's to say that a polished Democrat from a conservative, from a red state, who's a black guy, who Harvard educated, super smart attorney, private sector experience, who started his own firm back in the 80s, then segues into politics. You're telling me that this guy doesn't have an eye for something next? He's not an old guy. Okay. Got a lot of years left in front. I think there's huge political calculations here that cannot be ignored. You'll see people talking about this in the days to come. You definitely will. So Twitter and this storm. Did you hear this? That Twitter's playing a huge role in Hurricane Harvey? Some are even calling it the new something. And I'll tell you what that is when we come back. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. In all my excitement to get to the meat of the matter, I neglected to give you the phone number, which I'm sure you have memorized, but if not, 800-222-5222 is the way to reach me if you'd like to be on the program. Also, my email, sam@samnation.com. So Twitter is playing a huge role in Hurricane Harvey, and some are calling it the new 911. Why? Let me explain. So people in this storm, obviously tons of people, way more people stranded than they have available phone lines even to the 911 system. You can imagine how overwhelmed the emergency services are. So you got people on rooftops or in places, they're pulling out their cell phones. And miraculously, the antennas are still working. So there's coverage. So they're tweeting out their locations. I'm not surprised by this at all. I'm not surprised in the least bit, and I'll tell you why. Have you ever been, I don't know, right now it's very popular to talk about the airlines and all the crappy things they're doing to people. But have you ever been genuinely stranded by an airline? One time, I was, maybe 2 years ago, I was genuinely stranded by a strike, of all things, in Europe. And my airline that I was flying home with, like, you couldn't call in. You couldn't, literally, there was nobody there. They have millions of people that fly them, so they were just inundated. Do you know how I got a response? I tweeted at them, and I'm kind of a Twitter neophyte, but I tweeted at them, and guess who responded? They responded to me on Twitter faster than they did to my emails or even my phone calls. So you kind of have to embrace this. My other point on this is, who's responding to those tweets? It's not the cops, right? It's not official law enforcement, although they're monitoring them, I understand, as well. But regular people. And this hurricane, let me tell you, when I look what's going on in Texas, I see, beyond the misery, of course, and just the suffering, I see enormous acts of selflessness, of human dignity, of patriotism. And that really is what it is. There's people that are going out, they're taking out their boats using their own gas. They've got these little duck hunting boats. They're calling them the Cajun Navy. These are little duck hunting, flat bottom, outboard motor boats. And they're going out there and they're plucking. They're going on Twitter and they see who's tweeting out, hey, help needed. And they're going and picking them up because these people are giving them their coordinates. It's phenomenal. And this is who we are. This is America. And it was about time that we had something like, unfortunately, I'm not to call in for this disaster, but what you get my point. It's great to have a reminder of what we're all about. Now, there is some news. We know that Trump tomorrow is going to be visiting hurricane affected areas in Texas. And of course, look, the criticism is going to come one way or the other. I think Trump's screwed no matter what he does. I think that if he goes out there, the response is going to be, well, you know, yeah, it's a strain on law enforcement. But if he does a Bush low altitude flyby, he's never going to hear the end of it. You remember that? Because Bush got the advice. He said, look, local people in New Orleans and Louisiana said, don't come because we don't have the police personnel to work in conjunction with Secret Service to come and protect you when you're here. So, and Bush wanted to see the devastation. So he got an Air Force One and flew at a very low altitude. And there's these pictures. There's nothing more offensively imperial than the sight of a very powerful man flying in his super looks giant private jet over thousands and thousands of suffering Americans. It's just it's bad optics. What do I predict? I predict Trump's going to show up a little casual. I don't think he's going to show up in a suit. He's going to show up with, you know, a blazer and maybe no tie. And he's going to go. Because, and it's, I'll tell you, it's only because of the punishment, the brutal abuse that Bush got for his failing to visit Hurricane Katrina devastated areas. So those are my thoughts on that. Antifa, Berkeley, things got crazy there this weekend. And I want to tell you, this some very important stuff is coming out of this. A change in tune, perhaps, from our friends on the left. All right, don't go anywhere. We've got the news with John Wolfe up next. Sam Rzhovsky, live, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Home of the smartest listeners in Southern California. Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. And as always, we are coming to you from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. Now, a phone number, if you'd like to reach us, 800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com is the email. Something big happened in the Murjovsky Casa. My son yesterday, so he's going to be 10 this week, a big milestone. But even in advance of his 10th birthday, he picked me up. I don't know if you're okay. Are you a parent? If you've got a kid, this is a big deal because when you have a child, and dads, I'm speaking specifically to you. When your wife, partner, you know, pushes out a baby. And they wipe the baby off, thank goodness. But then they hand the baby to you. And you're holding the baby. And I don't know about you, but for me, I held my son. He was the first newborn I had ever held in my arms. And I thought his head was going to fall off. I swear to God, I thought his head just flopped back. And I go, oh my God, I'm going to break this child before he even had a chance in life. And that's how vulnerable little babies are. And so I'm only saying this because then I lugged him around everywhere and I'm carrying him and then they get older, but they still fall asleep in the car and you have to carry them upstairs to bed. And then slowly their legs get longer and longer. And then it's really tricky carrying them into bed because don't know about your house, but I have these little awkward stairs and so here he did. He put his arms around my waist and legit lifted me off the ground. And a little part of me inside cried. It really did. Antifa. Big protests this Sunday. Sickening display of exactly what we've been talking about here for months. You know, okay, so you know what happened, right? Berkeley, which is, I understand, a hotbed of left-wing radicalism. We know it. Berkeley is a joke. We get it. But apparently there was a group of peaceful protesters. You know it was peaceful, by the way, because this is the article title from the Washington Post, no friend of Trump and his acolytes. Black-clad Antifa members attack peaceful right-wing demonstrators in Berkeley. I saw this headline and I just about fell out of my chair. Because of course, for months, we've been hearing nothing about, just protesters clashing, okay? And it doesn't talk about even we were talking last week about Laguna, right? And what happened down here in Orange County where, you know, basically an innocent black Trump supporter gets knocked on the head by some Antifa guy. It's happening all over. And I think that this is a monumental turning point. I think they're losing this. They're losing this because of why? Because of the violence. What do I say? You know, it's as despicable as it is, it's okay to hate legally in this country. The Constitution allows you to be a hateful, disgusting person. You can hate, but you're not allowed to hit. That's the bright line. And I've just been shouting myself silly about this, you know, and if you've been listening, you know I'm been consistent on this position. And finally, even the tone deaf mainstream media is beginning to take notice. Because there's a, and it always happens because it's one of their own, right? There's a photographer out there, a media guy. And he just got sworn by the mob and they began beating him just senseless. And again, in a great display of who we are as a country, you can see in the video, there's a black, I don't know, counter-protester, or somebody, bystander, who gets in there and is literally shielding this poor guy with his own body. So this stuff is, it matters because attitudes are shifting on this. And it really ties into this nonsensical, absolutely nonsensical Tillerson statement. Yesterday on Fox News Sunday. If you missed it, I'll play it for you. And then I have some very important thoughts I need to share. Okay, live here on Talk Radio 790 KBC, Sam Rojofsky back right after this.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I don't know if you saw this, but apparently the UN recently denounced Donald Trump. No, it's for reals. There's a committee. I imagine, by the way, that the UN is filled with committees. There's committees upon committees upon committees. Groups of people that get together, talk, and do absolutely nothing. Now, this particular committee, I got to get the full name for you for full effect. The UN Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. Yeah, that's for reals. I mean, the UN can't stop a legit genocide. Not once, but at least twice in the last 10 years. And yet, they've got a committee that's going to end discrimination. So they've denounced Trump for his Charlottesville response. Let's see what they said. Something about it being, you know, it's just condemning him for not unequivocally denouncing racism and discrimination and hatred. We are alarmed by the racist demonstrations, blah, 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 and unequivocally denounce this, blah, blah, blah. Now, it was to this news story that Tillerson was reacting when he went on Chris Wallace yesterday and dropped this little bombshell that everybody's been talking about. But I think that the context for it is really important. So have a listen to what he said.
Chris, we express America's values from the State Department. We represent the American people. We represent America's values, our commitment to freedom, our commitment to equal treatment of people the world over. And that message has never changed.
And when the president gets into the kind of controversy he does and the UN committee responds the way it does, it seems to say they begin to doubt whether we're living those values.
I don't believe anyone doubts the American people's values or the commitment of the American government or the government's agencies to advancing those values and defending those values.
And the president's values?
The president speaks for himself, Chris.
And then Chris Wallace does one of those constipated penguin faces that he's so famous for. He just sort of sits there and puts his head back. And everybody's talking about this like it's some great big news. I mean, if I were Tillerson, first thing I would respond with is who gives a flying rat's rear end about the UN? Tillerson's job, by the way, is is being on Team Trump. It is Trump's White House. I'm going to even get a little more basic on this. Would Tillerson have his job if Trump didn't win? It's that basic. None of these clowns would be in their present position if it weren't for Trump following his political instincts and forming a bond, a connection with the American public. One of the crucial issues that endeared Trump to his voter base, to the people that voted for him, is the UN. We're sick and tired of it. The UN is a joke. Rwanda, anyone? Hello? Darfur? I mean, we had basically 90% of Hollywood all but begging, okay? All but begging the UN to do something. And nada, zip. And then the UN put the Sudan on the Human Rights Council. And then they criticized Trump. These people are out of their flipping minds. I have nothing to add to this. So Tillerson, instead of that, turns into a giant poussée and says, "Whoa, you know," that doesn't even question the premise of what is being blabbled about by Chris Wallace, who's a total douchebag and a lib to boot. I don't know. That's the real story here is who cares about what the UN says? What moral high ground do they have? Guess who has moral high ground at the UN? We do, because we're paying their freaking bills. It's like mom and dad. Mom and dad pay the bills. Guess what, kid? You learn to show some respect. It's like the bratty kid that gets a huge paycheck every day for every week, you know, from mom and dad. And then what? Trash talks mom and dad at every turn he gets. That's unacceptable. And Rex Tillerson missed, I think, a golden opportunity to stand up for Trump and for Trump's agenda. All right. Maybe John Bolton, Plan B, Nikki Haley, Sam Murkowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Say, what is this? You know what it is.
790 KABC.
Sam Murkowski, Sam Nation, what do you do if you get into a car accident? Well, you call the lawyer that you trust. And if you don't know a lawyer, well, no, you do, because you listen to this program. And who do you know? You know attorney Sweet James Bergner, because he's the lawyer we trust to take care of you in your hour of need. Now, look, if you get into a car accident, you're dealing with the insurance company and you're giving over the information and you're sending them documents, stop it. Don't do another thing. Pick up the phone. Call 1-800-881-2021. Call Sweet James. Get some advice. Check in. Okay, he'll, at the very least, free consultation. Can't hurt. And can give you some pointers on what to do and what not to do. It's almost more important what you don't do in these types of cases. Can make a big difference in terms of recovery. Believe me, big difference. James has received over $400 million and rising for his clients, both in settlements and verdicts. Insurance companies fear him. Trust me about this. They know him all the way up to, you know, I just heard today that there was a big insurance company. I can't name the name, but they, all the way to the president of that company, have heard of James and his team and are afraid of them and are giving specific instructions to everybody in that insurance company how to react, what to do if they hear from Sweet James. Trust me, it's for real. Who you hire as a lawyer makes a big difference. So 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation, back providing analysis steps ahead of the mainstream chatter. My reaction to the Arpaio pardon. Boy, did everybody have a cow over that. I kind of thought we saw that coming a mile away. I mean, isn't that the Trump has been consistent about this. I have two separate thoughts. One, I don't like Arpaio as a person, and I've met him a few times, so I can speak to this on a personal level. He's a grouch. God, he's a cranky cuss. Anyway, that's a story for another time. But you know what? There he was during the peak, you know, of the Obama administration, and he was enforcing federal immigration policy. And the truth be told is he had an enormous following in his community because people in Arizona were fed up with the lackadaisical approach to immigration. And I absolutely despise, I bristle every time I hear him being described as anti-immigrant. What a joke. Can we put in the illegal word, please? Beep, beep, beep. Just put it right in there. Illegal immigrant. There's a difference. My parents are immigrants. I don't think Arpaio would have been pulling my parents over. Because they're documented. Okay? Because they did it the right way. They suffered. I mean, geez, what they had to go through to get those papers. And many, many people have done the same thing. So don't make this... Don't change what it was all about. And you know from the get-go that how Trump felt about illegal immigration. He ran on it. It was a cornerstone of his platform. And it was absolutely the right thing to do. Because the persecution of our party, the guy wasn't, this was a total political persecution of him. There's no other way to put it. I mean, he's basically doing his job. And some crackpot lawyers decide you're going to go after him because he's racial profiling. I don't know, because, geez, I don't know, 99% of illegal immigrants are on the border and are coming from Mexico. What can I tell you? Anyway, we are the voice of sanity here. That's why we're all here in this beautiful place. All right. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, fastest hour in radio. Bam, gone like that. Happy Monday. And I will talk to you tomorrow at 7.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.